Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Now we have to fucking talk about racing.
We're going to watch a car race, Michael.
It's when nerds try and be cool.
I think you've done brilliantly. Good podcasting.
Ice cream being a big part of my life until now.
Hi, I'm Josh Weller.
And I'm Alfie Brown.
And this
is Dirty Air.
China. We are but a day away from the sprint qualifying, followed by the sprint. So this is the order. We have FP1.
It's just FP.
Really, you can't call it practice one.
No.
Because there's no other practice.
Then we've got qualifying one.
Sprint qualifying.
Yeah, but we could call it qualifying one, couldn't we?
Because there's two qualifiers.
Yeah, but it's qualified. So yeah. Q1 so, and sprint qualifying.
So not only
Q1, Q1-1.
The Q1-1 with the Q1-1 just cruising.
Okay, that's another one.
So we've got FP, then sprint qualies at 8:30 a.m. for the UK listeners.
Mm-hmm. Then the sprint's happening at 4 a.m.
That's what are Formula One trying to do?
I think they're trying to attract China.
China. What? But why have they gone, hey, you know what? People hate the sprint race. So should we have loads of those? Yeah. And should we at least put them on at a time where they will fail just because no one's going to be watching? You know what, Stefano? I think that's a really good idea. And then qualifying and then the race. So none of it counts for anything.
Well, the race will count for something.
Yeah,
you get 25
but...
points if you win that. 26 if you get the fastest lap as well. That's big.
Which Max will get.
That's big.
And we have China and then we have the Miami Grand Prix. The third. Is this the third ever Miami Grand Prix? It's exciting, isn't it? It's the new Paul Ricard. It's bad.
Wasn't it good?
No, it was fine. Last year it was good because LL Cool J came out.
Oh, ladies love him, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Ladies love Cool James.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the day that LL Cool J was coming up with his rap name and he went into the pub and he was like, guys, I've got it.
You think he went to a pub?
And he was like 17, wasn't he, when the first album came out?
Yeah.
And he just went, you know how ladies love me? James.
James. CJ.
You're 17 years old. You're a virgin. Yeah, but I think ladies love me and I'm really cool.
Yeah.
Who do you think they're going to have this year at the Miami Grand Prix, bigging up the... it's got to be someone awful. Flo Rida?
Yeah, that's a good...
Who's the other one? Who's that annoying dick who's always like DJ Khaled?
Oh, right.
It's going to be someone...
Andy Peters.
It's going to be someone like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be DJ Khaled. It'd be somebody flashy, but I don't really know. Like, who's less expensive but the same as Drake?
Like crap Drake?
Yeah. Like budget Drake.
I mean,
that's what LL Cool J felt like it was. Also, if you choose your name when you're 17,
grow
I feel
out
like
of it.
We should give people a 25-year-old opt-out.
Yeah, like even the S Club Juniors, they became like something else, didn't they?
Well, S Club, yeah.
Yeah, and Lil Bow Wow, he just became Bow Wow. But anyway, back to Formula One. Are you excited about China? First race in a while in China?
I'm thinking I'm going to get up pretty early in Glasgow on Sunday and watch it.
8 a.m.'s good, isn't it?
8 a.m. is like a nice time to wake up and see what's going on in China.
And it doesn't ruin your day. This is why I enjoyed the Saturday races at the start of the year, start of the season.
Sunday free for like...
Because you can mourn that you got a day to mourn it. You go, oh my God, I didn't. At least I didn't waste my Sunday on this.
I feel like it's nice because you can have it out of the way. It's quite an imposing time, 3 p.m., isn't it?
Yeah.
And it because it, you've got to, you can have your morning, but then you've got to work your whole day around it.
Yeah, my girlfriend is 20% more annoyed at me during the Formula One season. Because she's like, what are you doing this weekend? And I go, oh, it's a race.
We have to stop calling it a Formula One. It's not the Formula One season. Something that lasts from late February to December. It's the year. This is just the whole year. She's so you mean she's less annoyed at you in January?
Okay, yeah, that's very true. Okay, let's get into this. Alonso.
Alonso.
My name is Fernando Alonso, yeah. And I'm here to stay. See that video?
Yeah.
My name is Fernando Alonso, and I'm here. Hey, Fernando, you know how you've never had a long-term Formula One contract because essentially you're a bit of an arse? Yes.
Is that why?
Well, you know, he's quite, I think, rambunctious, opinionated.
Opinionated, there we go.
He knows what he wants.
He knows what he likes.
Yeah, when you're the boss, people say he knows what he likes, but when you get fired, they say very controlling.
Right, okay.
So he knows what he likes.
For now.
Yeah, so he's got a 2-year contract, which means he'll be 72 years old when he retires.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who, he'll be 46. Do you know who the last oldest driver to retire was?
Hill. Fangio.
Oh, it was Graham Hill.
It was Graham Hill.
Who was? How old was he when he retired?
Hill was a really good, like, because the good thing about Formula One is you can just say Villeneuve.
Yeah.
And you get 2 guesses with 1 name. So you don't need to know that I meant Damon.
Graham was the, Graham. Was the same age. As
I think I heard that on the podcast with Damon Hill and
the other guy,
the Aston Martin mascot.
He will be 46 when he retires. He's got a long-term contract. And I thought it was really interesting that they went, hey, you know, we've got you for another 2 years. He goes, we're going to do a big video release to say that you're staying. He goes, yes, I like this idea to let the people know that I am here to stay. Oh my God, that's it. Just say that. Just say you're here to stay. Yes, because I am here to stay. Yeah, you are here for 2 years.
But nobody knows the length of the contract. That's the impression I got from that.
And then, but they filmed it with like an iPhone 8.
Great iPhone.
Was that the one with the bubbles on the back?
That
was the iPhone 4S.
It's the one with the plastic back, the plastic curved back, isn't it?
Yeah. Really good, yeah. Could they not have done it better? It doesn't show...
Yeah, but that could be Aston Martin's...
Crappy like, press department.
Well, no, that could be their moniker for everything they do. Couldn't they have done it better? Well, yeah, of course. They're going to have done everything better. So the exciting thing about Aston Martin is loads of money, Honda, who want to win and be the best.
Do they?
Which is really...
Because they already are winning and are the best.
Are they a part of Red Bull or aren't they a part of Red Bull? I think they're going to they want to drive themselves back into Formula One and be the big cream of the crop. And they want to, essentially what I've been banging on about all season, don't Adrian Newey and Max want to prove that it's them and not Red Bull and that big, you know, glossy, sugary, taurine-driven empire? They want to do it somewhere else. And I think Honda want to do it somewhere else as well. Honda want to go, no, it's us. We're the engine that wins you Formula One championships. And we're going to Aston Martin. And with their big business suit and a Gile energy, they're going to dominate for years to come. Because business suit and a Gile, they're dominating for years to come. Driving around the track, beating times, making rhymes. Going round and round, you don't hear a sound because it's business suit and a Gile. Business suit and a Gile. It's where our enemies lay in the ground. We don't make a sound. We drive around.
Honda are they part of Red Bull? You know, like when people was Pat Smear in Nirvana. You know that? You know he's in the Foo Fighters now, but he was in the Germs. And when he was in Nirvana, everyone was like, I thought Nirvana were a 3-piece. Honda are the Pat Smear of Formula One.
And Pat Smear is the punk equivalent of LL Cool J.
Yeah.
There should have been can I just be called...
Can I just be called... Dear?
Can I just be called Patrick, like, Patrick Arrowsmith? Like, that's my name. My real name is Patrick Arrowsmith, and that's what I'd like to be called. Pat Smear, yeah, it was funny when I was, like, 17 years old. I need to change this now.
Okay, so let's talk about the driver market very quickly. Fernando
Alonso. Talking about the driver market.
What?
I love talking about the driver market.
I love the driver market. Do you know what I like? I like driver market and reg changes because what that means is that we never have to stop talking.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great? Because there's always a driver market, because there's a market for drivers, and the regulations will often change. And when the regulations change, it means you go, oh, maybe Formula One won't be crap forever.
Mm.
I mean, the fact that we are five races into a season and every week, every Formula One podcast, including us, and every Formula One outlet just goes, yeah, but 2025 and six are going to be good, aren't they?
I don't think
because we're so sick of this year already.
But there are, you know, it's silly season as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not silly season, but it's already
it's about
silly
to
season.
Happen.
No, but it is, because we're already talking about where everybody's going to be and what, because what else can we possibly be talking about? It. You want to talk about the driver markets. I want to talk about the driver markets. Do you want to talk about the race?
Do you think?
Nope. We want to talk about the driver markets, because where is everybody going to be? The whole of Formula One, or our enjoyment of Formula One, we have taken the responsibility for our enjoyment of Formula One away from the actual races, and it's become this sort of fantasy world of what we just have to secretly imagine what Formula One could be.
Mm.
It's we don't enjoy what it is. We enjoy hypothetically what Formula One could
or
be.
Or what we would do if we were in charge.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love doing that. Yeah. So anyway, talk to me about the driver markets, because I'm very excited about anything. You always shoot me down when I talk about the driver markets, but now finally
I'm on board.
You've got something to say about the driver
markets. My theory is Alonso's re-signed because for me, if I was 46 years old and I was at home and I just didn't really want to hang out with my partner all the time, I would re-sign for 2 years. When he's like, yeah, I'm going to retire at 44. And then he sort of is like, the chat with my girlfriend's not great. I think I might just go on the road for another 2 years. That's what I think. I think he's just not happy in his home life, Fernando. So, Fernando, if you are not happy, just remember that you don't need to be going out every weekend, every other weekend, 200 miles an hour in a car. It's better to focus on you.
I wouldn't like to lay the blame solely at his golf. I think he might be going through kind of quite an elaborate midlife crisis.
Yes.
And
I wasn't putting the blame on his girlfriend.
Well,
or his many lovers.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a lovely.
Red Bull. Will Red Bull keep Sergio Perez? And if they don't, who will they replace? Quick answer.
Yes, they'll keep him because life is boring.
Okay. Williams. Both drivers out of contract this year. Will Logan Sargeant keep his seat?
No.
Logoat Sargoat. No. He should keep his seat. He fucking should keep his seat. He's my little fun thing in Formula One.
He couldn't even keep his seat whilst being the Williams driver. Like he couldn't even keep his fucking seat when it was his seat. So he's not going to keep his seat when he doesn't have. No, he's not staying.
Who's getting it? Is it going to be Oliver Bearman driving a car really fast when he shouldn't be there?
No, because
Carlos is scared. Appendicitis, but he came back to show that he deserves that seat.
I think Oliver Bearman has,
can you pronounce his name properly?
Oliver Bearman.
No,
Bearman.
It's Oliver Bearman.
The part of the functional pronunciation of his name exists in the melody of it.
Yeah, yeah. When they were signing the birth certificate, it was a score chart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, his parents went, we're going to call him Oliver Bearman.
Cool.
And the nurse went, Oliver Bearman, that's a nice name. No. It's to the tune of Eleanor Rigby.
That mine has that as well. That's why I always, whenever we do the intro to the show, Alfie Brown.
Williams, who's staying? Albon's staying.
Albon's staying.
Yeah.
They would be foolish to let him go. The only way in which he might go somewhere else is if he gets a better offer.
Mm.
But I don't know who he's getting a better offer from.
Mercedes?
Unless Sergio Perez leaves Red Bull and they bring him back into the Glen.
And is Bearman going to get that Williams seat?
Feels like a bit of a waste to give Bearman that Williams seat because he's all...
I guess he can't because he's a Ferrari driver. He'll go to Haas, won't he?
And Haas is... He'll go to Haas or he'll go to Sauber and Sauber will become Audi.
Yeah.
So Sainz and Bearman feel like a good... But when do Audi come in?
2026.
Yeah.
Sainz
and Bearman could both go to Sauber, get used to being part of that team before it sort of sheds its...
What about Antonelli? Antonelli's probably going to get that Williams seat, isn't he?
Antonelli's going to get the Mercedes seat.
Do you think? They're not going to put a 17-year-old, 18-year-old into a... fuck it. It's finishing seventh and ninth. Yeah.
Like, why not bother?
Who cares?
Why bother?
They're a midfield team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they really, they understand at Mercedes that they're not going to be anything until 2026.
Yeah.
So why not just get used to having him hang out for they're a not, year?
I don't even think, I think Mercedes are done. I think that's it. I think we're going to see them become Williams. Like by the 2030 Grand Prix, when testing happens, they're going to have those things in front of their garage. They're going to have no drivers. They're going to close their garage. They're not going to have a car on the day of testing in 2030. I think Mercedes are over.
But is it not just who has the most money always ends up finding a way? So Ferrari make more money. They're the biggest kind of legacy brand in Formula One. So they're always going to be, they're never going to be more than a couple of seasons away from having a car that can compete. It's them that fuck it up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the money to compete. They'll always have the money to compete. They'll never be too far away. They'll never fall to the back of the pack.
Yeah.
Is the same not true of Mercedes? Do they not generate one of the biggest incomes in Formula One and therefore they will always be a couple of seasons?
I think the biggest motherfucker wins in Formula One. I think if you're willing to hide money and say, oh, no, that aero's for the vert ramps that we've got in Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
I think Red Bull are just very creative with where they put their funds.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why they're the best, because they've got the most money. But what I mean is that
Toto's got too many morals to be a winner at this point.
Yeah, but is it not the case that Mercedes, whilst they may not be able to compete with the biggest motherfucker,
mm-hmm.
they are also themselves a fairly big motherfucker, and therefore they're not just done.
I think I'm starting to question whether Toto knows how to lead when he's not winning.
Well, what was he like when he was not winning in the early 2010s?
But he was on the up, wasn't he? They were on the only way is up, and now he's on the down, and I think it's the first time he's ever been on the down.
That's interesting. How do you deal with
it? Yeah.
It's the same thing we were saying about Lewis for the last 3 years.
Kick Sauber? Bottas and Zhou staying going out of contract.
They're done. I'm finished.
But it's Zhou's home race.
Yeah. I mean, next season. Even with the driver market. Look, who's changing mid-season? Nobody.
No, but do you think they're gone at the end of the season?
Yeah.
Okay. Mercedes, who's going to get that seat? We've kind of covered that. Alpine, Macopine, Promopine, Suspomar. A little throwback. Gasly and Ocon. I think keep Ocon. I think get rid of Gasly.
Yeah, but do we think that because of our personal feelings about what Pierre Gasly represents?
Yeah, because he's got a... Yeah, he's sort of like... He's someone I'd see coming out of a nightclub wearing shorts at 3 a.m, shoes with no socks and sunglasses in February.
Mm.
That's what I think. That's where Gasly's happy place is, you know?
Yes, he's the sort of man I can imagine in belittling the weakest member of a social group.
I think he big spoons his mum, and I find that...
I know, that makes me like him. I think that means he has like a good sense of family, and I find that very attractive.
I reckon after sex, Pierre Gasly looks at his partner and goes, you finished, didn't you? He doesn't say, he's not like, did you... He goes, you finished, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you didn't, I don't care too much.
Yeah.
And then the girl's like, I should probably be get going home. And he goes, well, you know, just take the jet ski. There's a jet ski at the back of the yacht. Just, you can get back to land that way. Doesn't even give her a ride.
So she has to do the jet ski of shame.
The jet ski of shame.
How much, do you reckon there's more or less shame in a jet ski of shame than a walk of shame?
I would rather have,
made love to each other on my yacht.
Yeah.
And I said,
Can we make love to each other on Lawrence Stroll's yacht?
Well, we can make...
We've done like a, you know, we've broken into it like in a sort of...
Oh, in a fun bit.
Yeah, like a high school movie.
We're three quarters of way through like our rom-com about how we get together. And this is like our frolic.
Yeah.
This is our... We've lost all sense of the rules because we're so in love.
So we're on Lawrence's super yacht.
Yeah.
And then
we've made love.
We're on the poop deck.
But we've made love in a really classy way.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tender.
Yeah.
And then you go, you should probably get going.
I've had a sudden change of heart.
Yeah. Well, no, it turns out.
Because my feelings for you really scare me.
Yeah. 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 And then I have to take the jet ski back.
Mm.
I'd be absolutely fine with that.
Yeah.
But would
for the purpose of the film,
just
you
so
should
you
be humiliated.
Know, I would total it. You wouldn't be getting it back.
Yeah. But that doesn't really matter to me. Because
okay.
I'm disgustingly rich. And that's why I have such an emptiness. That's why I can't trust my love for you. Because after our lovemaking on Lawrence Stroll's yacht, that was the first time I truly felt connected. Also, we're on Lawrence Stroll's yacht. It's not my jet ski.
Yeah, that's true.
It was the jet ski that we took to get to Lawrence's yacht, and you've left me on Lawrence Stroll's yacht with my only mode of transport gone.
Formula One is the only sport where I reckon there are more jet skis of shame than in any other sport.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They love the water, don't they, these Formula One drivers?
They do. Why do they love the water so much?
I've no idea.
What is it about yachts? Is it because no one can be near them, but they can still get papped? Is that what it is? So they were all at the tennis this week as well. They were at the... where did you go? Did you go to the US Open? No. The Australian Open? No. Which one? What's your favourite tennis tournament? Oh, it's the Rolex Monte Carlo Masters, actually. That's my favourite tennis tournament. Is that a Masters tournament? Is that a Grand Slam? No. It's just where they come and show off and all get paid loads of money. And
there
Leclerc...
There are quite a few tennis tournaments like that now.
Leclerc was wearing a white pinstripe suit. A double-breasted white pinstripe suit, like he owned a cotton farm in America.
Sure.
Like you were going to go up to him and he was going to go, hello there. Little lady, welcome to my farm. Don't look out the back. How are you? Would you like some fried chicken?
Mm.
He looked absolutely fucking disgusting. He needed a fedora and a suitcase full of money. It was outrageous.
Oh, you mean a fedora? Not a Federer, the tennis player.
He needed a Roger Federer, a fedora.
And we all need a
okay,
Roger Federer.
So okay. I'm going to show you. That's what Lando wore.
Nice.
He had a bucket hat on. Lando was wearing a bucket hat. Charles in a pinstripe suit.
Okay, I think he looks nice.
No, he doesn't. George actually looked quite normal. He just looked rich.
Yeah.
Blue suit, white t-shirt, sunglasses. And Carlos, the only normal-looking person there.
I like what George was. Standard issue posh twat is George.
That's what his Instagram bio should be.
And George Russell just looks fucking great. Because he's so handsome that he can just go, I'm just wearing like my clothes.
Yeah, he doesn't need to wear the hip hop Lewis Hamilton gear. I'd like to send another message out. I've done this every season to Charles Leclerc's stylist. Go home. You do not belong on that torso.
To his stylist?
His stylist, you
needs
should
to go home.
Be fired. Yes.
Okay, and so he can dress himself.
The
you're willing to gamble on that, are you?
That Leclerc can dress himself. No, but I do.
Do you think it's going to get better when he's putting on his own clothes?
I do think every morning Leclerc says to someone, "Are we sure about this?" He goes, he looks at his clothes. "Are we sure about this? Is this cool?" I bet he says that every day.
He did look a lot like a man who sells ice cream.
What's happening? He's launched a low calorie ice cream.
Is it low calorie?
Yeah, that's stupid.
Why?
Because some bad things are bad for a reason. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that fried chicken tastes good.
Mm.
There's a reason that ice cream tastes good.
Mm.
Like, why has he done a low-cal ice cream?
I think
Leck.
You've never... Well, his name's Leclerc, so that's why he's called it Leck.
Right. If Carlos did a low-carb ice cream, it would be called Car.
No,
Lewis Hamilton's would be called Ham.
That shouldn't
ham.
Be... It should be called...
Do you want to have some ham ice cream?
No, his would be called like Hamilton's Dairy.
That sounds sexual. Okay, so Hamilton has an agave. An alcohol, how do you pronounce it? Agave.
No, that's, I'm just singing it to the tune of Bear's Den's Agape. He seems to be, like, I would be too embarrassed right now to be launching an ice cream. I would be, if it was going brilliantly, like, Hamilton copped so much flack for being a fashion twat. And everybody's going, can't he just concentrate on the racing? And he would go, I am. I'm winning every week.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, he needs to go back and do more of that extracurricular shit. He's doing too much driving at the moment and it's bringing him down.
Well, Lewis Hamilton needs to launch a fucking,
maybe
like
that's
a stupid
what, like,
brand.
Charles Leclerc's trying to do is Hamilton's gone up to him, but man, you need to like launch an ice cream or something.
Because every egg.
You do
so
too
why
much
do you think Lewis Hamilton gets loads of flack but Charles Leclerc doesn't?
Because people give a shit about Lewis Hamilton, and nobody gives a shit about Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, fair.
And it's like when Marcus Rashford was trying to help kids eat lunch or whatever he was trying to do, and everybody went, focus on the football. And Charles Leclerc can get away with an ice cream, and everybody goes, yeah, great.
Yeah, because he's not doing that much. He's not winning.
No, nobody cares. He's not a celebrity.
Or is it for another reason?
Could be.
I don't know. I think that what Carlos Sainz should do is launch another ice cream brand quicker and have it be more successful.
Mm. Tastier with fewer calories.
Yeah.
Halo Top is a good low calorie ice cream listener.
Okay, Bottas has a gin and a coffee.
Uh-huh.
Norris has whatever the what is he beaded necklaces? What's Norris has merch all the time, doesn't he?
Yeah, he makes his own decks.
What, DJ decks?
Mm. Mm. I made that up.
Yeah, I know. And Piastri has thongs, doesn't he? Thongs and phone covers and stuff like that.
Does he?
But in regard to like actual branding of like a product,
yeah,
not many. Alonso did a partnership with a makeup face cream brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a partnership. That's sponsorship.
My name is Fernando Alonso. Do you want to keep plowing poon deep into your 40s? Well, these nasty crow's feet on your eyes aren't helping. So I use Agar-Bere moisturizing cream. And now I'm smashing 23-year-olds every day.
No.
That's what he's doing.
He doesn't look good for his age.
Alonso?
But he doesn't look...
Shut up. He's hot.
I know he's hot. I know he's
hot. He looks 46.
That's not what
I
said. He isn't 46. He looks his age, though, is what I mean.
I think if you look 44 at 44, that's good for your age. I think if you look 23 at 23, that's good for your age.
He looks good, but he doesn't look good for his age. He looks his age. He doesn't look younger than he is.
But I think that's good. I still think that's good. I think if you're 70 and you look 70, I think that's good.
Well,
anyway.
I don't know.
I also think Grosjean had a cookbook as well.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Little did he know.
The F1 would try and cook him.
You know, Grosjean, how do you feel about this? Grosjean's car is in the F1. So it's moved to Toronto. I think it was in Madrid. But his burnt car is on tour at the F1 museum.
Mm.
How do you feel about that?
I feel like James Vowles should have asked to borrow it, seeing as he's only taking two cars to every race.
Do you want to know Leclerc's ice cream flavours?
No spare chassis.
Five flavours.
Five flavours?
Five flavours. I'm going to give you six guesses.
Okay.
For Leclerc's flavours.
Chocolate?
Yes.
Okay. And salted caramel?
Yes.
Good. And vanilla?
Yes.
And strawberry?
No.
Shit bits.
You got one guess left. I'll give you a hint. Do you want a hint?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a giveaway. It's green. But that really leaves you two options, doesn't it?
Mint.
No, pistachio.
It's pistachio. A low-calorie pistachio. I just thought that would have been too good an idea. I'm really into this.
Okay, but
here
we go.
You can't get a low-calorie pistachio.
Yeah, well, you can't get it because here's the thing. He's launched it. It's only available in 5 stores in Italy.
Yeah, well, it's a fucking money laundering exercise, isn't it? Like everything in F1.
So I'm going to tell you the fifth flavour. Vanilla pistachio, salted caramel chocolate, and the curveball.
Wait. Is it like cola?
Peanut caramel tango. They went, we got the classics, we got vanilla, pistachio, salted caramel, chocolate. And then they went, we just need, what have we got left over? And they were like, oh, we got loads of tango. Peanut caramel tango. What does that mean? Does that mean the flavours of the peanut caramel are tangoing? Or does that mean there's a fruit in the peanut caramel that's causing the flavour to tango?
It is weird. And it's not been tested with British
consumers,
has it?
No, can we just stop this? Anyway, Rosberg also, he's got put 75 million into a venture capitalist VC fund to fund startups. He's got 75 million to just put in the bank.
That's nice.
And go, what are your ideas? So my question to you is, what idea are you pitching to Nico Rosberg?
A lot of pressure here, Joshua, but I'd have to say that I'd like to start a company, a men's eyebrows landscaping company, because I just think if you're going to pitch a company to Rosberg, it has to be something he's going to be passionate about. So I think men's eyebrow landscaping would be that's my first thought. There are no bad ideas in brainstorming. You're not allowed to call it brainstorming anymore. I just did, so...
Why can't you call it brainstorming?
It's a fun fav.
Is it? Yeah. To the brain or to the storm?
To weather people. Get very upset when you say brainstorm.
Weather people?
Weather people, like weather people on the TV.
Really?
No, it's to do with neurodivergent people.
Oh, okay. Well, then there are no wrong ideas in a mind meld.
Yes.
Star Trek reference. Would you want to know my idea that I'm pitching to Rosberg?
I would like to know that,
so
please.
I hate having to lean over to drink water in the night, mm-hmm. right? I hate that.
Yep.
Nico, don't you hate when you wake up in the middle of the night and you roll over whichever woman isn't your wife and you think, God, I want a sip of water, but you have to take the screw top off, and then sometimes the bottle hits your teeth and that kind of jolts you into an awakeness and you just want to sip something and go back to sleep, something to wet the whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how gerbils have those bottles in their cages? Where they just go up to those bottles and there's always a drop on the end. So I've called it Bebo, which is short for bed bottle. And what it does is it connects to the top of your bed and it has a little straw that comes down. And in the middle of the night, you just, like a Formula One driver's helmet, the straw, you just, and then have a little sip.
Do you think that might damage your sex life? Were you in a couple?
What if my girlfriend
saw you
with my Bebo?
With your Bebo?
No, I think that I've done enough for her to never be attracted to me again.
Okay. So this is for couples who, like, where the sex life is, it's over.
I don't think it's unattractive to have a bottle of water next to your bed.
And a little sucky straw.
Yes, I think
that. And you call a bed bottle a Bebo, and you suck on your Bebo. You suck on your Bebo in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You don't think that's, no?
No, I think that's attractive. Okay. I know what I want. I'm comfortable with who I am, and I want to wet my whistle.
Do you think James Bond would have a Bebo?
No.
No. Do you think Fernando Alonso would have a Bebo?
Yes.
I do not agree with you.
Okay, we've got to wrap this up. But we're back very shortly.
What do you think is going to happen in the driver's market? I want to know, Joshua.
I think that Red Bull are going to stay as is. I think Williams will either get rid of Logan Sargeant. They'll probably put Kimi Antonelli in, but Logan Sargeant's daddy / uncle / oil money.
Mercedes.
I think money might keep Logan in that seat for another year. I think that Kick Sauber will keep Bottas and probably Zhou when you look at the Chinese...
China.
Ask me in 3 months what they're going to do with Zhou Guanyu. Then I'll have a better answer.
China.
Mercedes, either Kimi Antonelli or Carlos Sainz.
Mm-hmm.
Alpine, I can't imagine them getting rid of an all-French lineup. They say it's marketing gold, but they're floundering, aren't they? They're just drowning.
Well, Alpine are in such a state that it doesn't... there's no obvious...
Yeah.
Thing that happens to that team.
My pitch to Alpine is, okay, you have a French team with two French drivers. How about you get a fast car with two fast drivers?
French thing's great. Love it.
Love it.
But they do have, I mean, the car is, they're both fairly good drivers.
Yeah.
And in a better car, they were.
Yeah.
It's just so shit for
and
them.
Also Haas, they're both out at the end of this year. I want the Haas drivers to stay just because it will annoy you.
Mm.
That's what I want. I want Magnussen and Hülkenberg to sign a 15-year contract at the end of this year just to piss you off. But it will be back on early next week after the Chinese Grand Prix. I have to say I'm excited about this race.
I'm excited about this race. And I'm excited to come back on Monday from my weekend of gigs and to record a podcast with you that's based on an actual race.
I'm excited to see a race where the drivers don't have a lot of FPs to pee. They're not F to pee.
Yeah.
Because they have to go straight into sprint qualies and they've no one's raced there since pre-Pando.
Ooh, what are your predictions?
I think Lance is going to finish. I'm going to go third.
Okay.
I'm going rogue. I'm going to go so rogue. I'm going to go, this is Lando's first win. We're going to have two Red Bull DNFs because they're going to crash into each other. I think Lewis will get out the car on lap 15 and just go, fuck this. And actually try and thumb down a Ferrari. Like he'll try and hitch a ride and be like, can I just try it? Can I just have a go? Are there any rules about that? Can a driver just have a go? Like, did you ever swap lunches with someone at school? Yeah. Can they not do that?
Yeah.
Can Carlos and Hamilton just go, should we just fucking go in each other's cars this weekend, see what happens?
That would be good. I suppose you have to do it with somebody with a similar size, wouldn't you?
Yes.
You couldn't have Yuki in Albon's seat.
No.
Because he wouldn't be able to reach the pedals.
No. But you could have Albon and Sainz. They're roughly the same, aren't they?
Yeah. Or you could have Yuki and Alonso. Swap. Yeah.
Okay, before we wrap up... occasionally, we are joined by very special guests on the Dirty Air podcast for something we call a day in the life. This is the first day in the life of this season. 20 new listeners. Occasionally, we'll reach out to the press departments of the Formula One teams and ask specific members of the paddock to write in and tell us what they do when they're not doing Formula One.
Or what a day in their life
in Formula One
in Formula One looks like.
Yeah, and we've been very lucky this week to be blessed with the presence of... I'm going to call him the new man of the moment and one of the best team principals who is not at the front of the grid. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I give you a day in the life of James Vowles.
Can you remember how he speaks? It's quite nerdy and back of the throat. Okay, so I'm just doing back of the throat nerdy.
It's quite quick. Quite quick.
I'm just going to do back of the throat nerdy, okay. And I'm not going to. I think that W where R's are is a part of his speech as well. This is a day in the life of James Vowles. I feel that sleep is a terrific way to recuperate, and I try to do it at least once every single night. Maintaining optimum performance levels in the workplace is of the utmost importance to me, and I find sleep to be a huge part of that. After I've had this sleep, I find food to be an essential part of my daily functionality. Food contains a lot of stored chemical energy. When you eat, your body breaks down these foods into smaller components and absorbs them to use as fuel. So I can actually use this Müller Crunch Corner Vanilla Choco Balls flavour to do chores and activities. Absolutely fascinating. I drive into work with my wife. I marvel at the car that carries us. Isn't it incredible, I muse to her, that cars are our facilitators and our kings. They humbly take us to work, where we strive to create a car that would make us king. I notice she's asleep. Very smart. She can use the energy harvested in that sleep for chores and activities. Today is a team meeting. This is where we strategize. I talk to Alex Albon about how our car's aerodynamics and new chassis components are working together with the suspension. And I give Logan a bloody difficult coloring book, actually. Another important component of my day-to-day life is breathing. When you inhale, breathe in, oxygen enters your lungs and oxygen from that air moves to your blood. At the same time, carbon dioxide, a waste gas, moves from your blood to the lungs and is exhaled, breathed out. This process, called gas exchange, is essential to life, I find. After a frustrating lunch at which several items were left off our order, meaning I had to make the very difficult the decision as team principal to give Alex Logan's lunch, we move towards the end of the day. It has been a tiring day, I find. My bosses think the car is still just as bad as last year, but being successful in F1 means embracing innovation. I am interested in the car time traveling an hour and a half forward into the future, and therefore foregoing the need to race entirely. Until recently, most studies on time travel have been based upon the classical general relativity. But coming up with a quantum version of time travel requires physicists to figure out the time evolution equations for density states in the presence of closed timelike curves. All this extraordinarily complex quantum means I am sleepy. The absence of sleep prevents energy savings, and instead, energy stores meant for normal waking activity are used during the sleep deprivation period. Me and the wife decide to go home. I recently took the extremely difficult decision as team principal to replace my wife with Alex Albon. Alex is asleep in the car. Just so long as you're awake on Sunday, I chuckle to myself. Save your energy for Sunday. We'll have a coffee and hope for 10th. Wasn't that nice of Alan?
Thank you so much, James Vowles. Oh, what a sweetheart.
He is a nice man.
He seems so lovely.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you after the Chinese Grand Prix. Don't forget, like and subscribe, leave a comment. If you haven't left a review, open up your phone, go in the app, click on the podcast, go down to the reviews and write, this is the best show I've ever listened to. Oh my God, I love Formula One. This is so informative and funny.
Do that. My tour is available to buy tickets for on alfiebrowncomedian.com. It's not been officially launched yet, so you will be ahead of the curve. I've not been announced. I'm just telling you here that there are dates available on my website, alfiebrown.com. So go and get some of those if you please.
And I have a show on the 5th of May in London
at the Bill Murray.
3:30 in the afternoon. So much like a Formula One race, if my show is terrible, it hasn't ruined your whole day.
So when is the 3:50? When is that? Sorry?
5th of May at 3:30 p.m. Is that during a race?
I don't know. That's what I'm checking. Oh, my God. We're going to be able to... I won't be coming to your... Okay. So your show is at...
3:30.
And then at 9, we're going to have the Miami Grand Prix.
Ooh, how exciting.
But I'm going to be watching Liverpool against Tottenham while you're on stage. But other people should go who aren't interested in football.
Yeah.
Should go and watch the show.
Or even people who are interested in football, because you can just watch that later.
I think that would ruin the... We'll talk about that off air, but...
Yeah, it's a fair point. All right, I'll speak to you guys soon. And thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you in a couple of days. Bye.
Bye.
Sorry, I'm Josh Weller.
And I'm Alfie Brown.
And this
is Dirty Air.
Bring the ice cream.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.